maybe I needed to be in there a little while, but in my opinion, I didn't want, maybe, you know what, fuck that. I did deserve to be there. I don't want to be there.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners? Homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today. Are you in the mood for getting out of your house this evening? Head over to Boyer's Tavern in Rexmont, PA. They have appetizers, soups, salads, wings, mouth-watering burgers, sandwiches, and many other entrees to choose from. Proper food and drinks made by slightly improper folks. Head over to Boyer's Tavern today or give them a call at 717-450-4063.
So going into my senior year of college, I was just getting ready to turn, so it was 09. I wasn't 30 yet. I forget. I was out of college when, it doesn't matter. So I'm going to my senior year of college. So 08 or 09, I graduated, but I was in going my senior year and I had a lot of credits to take and I was doing really good up until that point, but now I'm really into the painkillers. They're controlling my life. I used to be a big fitness nut. I used to lift a lot, all that kind of, I was in great shape. I remember the day that stopped. When I used to be lifting, if my drug dealers were like, "Hey, I got those for you." These were strictly Vicodins or Oxycontins or painkillers. This was my thing now.
Yeah.
And pot. Always pot. But it was my thing now were these. Oh, and the underlining Xanax I had a prescription for. So in my eyes, it wasn't a problem. The doctor was monitoring it. Little did I know. So now I remember getting the text message. "Hey, I got those for you. Oh, I'll see you after the gym or maybe tomorrow." But I remember the one day I was working out in the middle of my set. I got the text message. Looked at it. Dropped the dumbbells. Left them there. Left the gym. Never went back for years. That was the turning point. Where drugs totally, the addiction totally took over my life. And I'm not a believer. I don't know how much you know about it, about in the disease concept.
Okay.
With addiction. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
So the disease concept is, I'm just going to roughly go
please
over
do,
it.
Please do, yeah.
The disease concept is that we are pre-positioned, whatever that word is, to get hooked. So maybe I am, maybe you're not. So remember I told you I smoked that first joint and I loved it? In their eyes, that set off the allergy in me. It's the allergy in me. It's not my... And people are going to disagree with me on this big time. And that's fine. That's fine. I don't care. I lived it. If you lived it, then we could really discuss. If you never lived being an addict, I really don't want to hear it.
100%.
To touch on that real fast, my first counselor in rehab was a non-drug addict. I told him, I go get somebody else in here. And yeah. My counselor, Kevin, was amazing. The disease concept is, you know, it's basically saying that your mind is now set off that you have no control over these drugs anymore. I just don't believe that, because every time I wanted to get my fix, I just wanted it. Now, I do strongly believe that you're more vulnerable when you're hooked on a drug. For example, like when you're physically sick. So detoxing off of OxyContin, mm-hmm. or detoxing off of Vicodin, or whatever your detox, even the booze, you're going to get sick. Booze is terrifying. Heroin's terrifying. I was lucky to never be around heroin. I would not be talking to you right now. There would be no redemption story. There'd be a service every year. Wow. That's what it would be. Because the way I went, there was no way I was going to go light on the heroin.
Dang.
Simple as that. I'm just lucky.
Very.
Lucky. And I'll get to that part of the story too. So the disease concept is that it's not completely your fault. And I don't believe in that fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Everything I put in my body, I did because I wanted to. And there was times where I needed it, but did I really need it? I just chose not to be as sick as I was for the next couple hours or the next day, or ask for help. I chose the drug over it. So am I really being forced to go back to the drug? I just don't believe in that. And I lived that. Yeah. And there were times where I said, no, I'm going to go to the right. You know what happened too a lot is when I would detox myself, there were times where many, many times where I'd be like, okay, I can't take it. I'm eating like at the point, I'm eating now 15, 20 Vicodins a day.
Whoa.
I can't eat Tylenol now.
Yeah.
I can't eat Tylenol now. I have arthritis in my right hand, right? And my doctor, my friend, he put me on a prescription that's like, it acts as Advil, but it's lesser on your belly.
Okay.
And it's helping a little bit, but like I don't like taking it. My stomach's bothering me a little bit from it. But the amount of Tylenol I used to take into my system from eating all those pills, disgusting. I used to, and that got to the point where just not to get sick. I wasn't even getting off anymore. But before that led up to it, wow. I would take them for months at a time. Like I'm done. I can't live this life anymore. It was always a little bit before work to get through the shift, then after work. Then the next day, nothing, nothing, nothing. And then again. You know, can I show you a video on my phone?
Yeah.
I watched this video. Yeah. And there's great music to it. And okay. I would love to be able to maybe somehow be able to tell your listeners about it. But
if you could share it with me and I'll post it on social media or whatever.
I'll absolutely do that. Yeah. So this video is a representation of being a drug addict. So it's this little bird. Running past this little blob of something on the ground. And he runs by it a few times. And the next time he pokes his nose into it. And he's like, woo! He flies into the air like he got high off of it. And he's running. Here it is. It's actually really fucking sad.
So this is what addiction feels like.
It's unbelievable. You just wait until the progression. And I'll explain to you how I went down that path.
Okay.
What was going on in that video was the bird found what he wanted. Didn't want it at first. Got a taste for it. And he's like, that was good. That was good. Thought about it for a few days. And he's like, I want it again.
Yeah.
So what? I want it again. Does it again. Gets high off it. Does it again. Now we're getting a little less high. Now we're doing it again. A little less high. Oh, well. If I do a little bit more. Oh, I just did more. Oh, I just got high again. Remember I said earlier, I didn't like doing cocaine because I was chasing that first line I ever did.
Yeah, and you can't,
first
right?
line of cocaine you ever do, it's, there's, I can't explain it. Can't explain it. It's an out-of-body experience. You're wide awake. Everything's right in front of you. It's absolutely insane. But you're never, ever going to get that same feeling ever again. Like that first good drunk, people can relate to that more. What's funny is people that drink say that they don't do drugs. You know, alcohol is the worst drug on the planet.
Oh, sure.
It's the most abundant. It's the worst. And speaking of drugs, you know, whatever side of administration that you currently are on, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But what they're doing now with the drug cartels, labeling them terrorists.
Yep.
We got to start choosing ourselves first and keep protecting our country, protecting our kids from everything.
That's it.
I don't have kids, but I teach 75 children jujitsu.
Yeah. So you got kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got people that look up to you.
And Bridget's got a little girl out there too.
Yeah,
And that's the people that we have to protect.
100%.
From themselves. Right. They're not old enough to make decisions for themselves.
Yeah.
All right.
And they don't know how dark the world can be, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, that video, and that's the way my life went. I went from taking a couple Vicodins before my shift at work, going into my senior year of college.
Okay, yeah.
To barely graduating my senior year of college with, you know, I had like a 3.5, 3.6 GPA, which is really good for me considering my high school career.
Yeah.
And being 27, 28. College was fun at first. Then it turned into a fucking job.
Yeah.
You know, people were asking, it turned into a job the last couple of years, but it wasn't bad. It was fun. But then it turned, the last year was, but I made the last year miserable. So when, you know, when I graduated, but by then I was the bird. I was so far into my addiction. I was leaving class because I was getting sick.
Yeah.
Leaving class because I didn't want to be there anymore. Getting high in the parking lot, eating pills, all that kind of stuff. It was chaos. Jeez. It's fucking chaos. Chasing, ruining relationships because I didn't care. They'd be hanging out. I couldn't wait to get rid of them.
Just so, trying to get
I wanted to be high off it. I wanted to be high.
Wow.
And I would take my, knowing I only had like 6 Vicodins left, knowing I would 100% know that I was going to be sick the next day and I wasn't going to be able to get any more. So don't take all these at night. It's 11 o'clock. You don't need to feel high. Go to bed.
Yeah.
Smoke a joint or something, right? But I even stopped doing that at one point. I would take them, not even really feeling anything off them. And then what happened the next day? Fucking sick because I knew it was going to be. Then I would choose to stay sick for a week. Okay. So I was getting earlier how I tried to stop so many times.
Yeah.
So I would choose to stay. I would call off of work for a few days. 2 days, I'm sick. Bathroom, throwing up, all that kind of thing. Not really throwing up. Just your stomach when it comes to the Vicodins.
Yeah.
Heroin's a lot worse. Booze is a lot worse. So my stomach's bothering me. I'm shivering, all this kind of stuff. But I mellow myself out with Xanax and I smoke and I tell my mother that I just don't feel well and all that kind of stuff, right? And I'd be sober again. I wouldn't be sick anymore. I go back to the gym for a day or two, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Get myself out of it. Then I'd be bored. Couldn't watch TV normally anymore. I would eat Xanax and be mellow. I would smoke, but I wouldn't get the feeling I was getting off of the Xanax.
Yeah.
It was like an MMA guy like myself fucking doing ice skating.
Yeah.
I'm still doing a sport.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. Yeah.
It's not the same at all.
Yeah.
Shit. You know, even playing baseball wasn't even comparable to it. You know, it wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. So I would go back thinking it was going to be okay. But I got to like, but then level up.
Yeah.
And then I would do it again.
You do more, right?
Level up every time, bro.
Yeah.
Every time. The bird in the video.
Yeah.
Level up every time. The more you take, I take the same amount, I'm high for the less amount of time. I take another one, I take more money, more this, more that, right. More damage to my body.
Body, yeah.
Less time being high.
Dang.
Then one morning, one of my lovely drug dealers of mine, we're playing this crazy fucking game with our fucking lives every day.
Yeah.
Fucking so stupid, driving around like a fucking asshole. Like, it's a miracle that I'm still here today. It's sickening the things I used to do. And I remember I had to drive to Harvey's Lake to meet him. I drove about a half an hour. I'm sick. No matter what this guy gave me in the car that night, I was going to take it. And it just happened to not be Vicodins. He looks at me and goes, I can't sell you Vicodins anymore, bro. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, I have Suboxone. You know what Suboxones are?
I never heard of that.
Think Suboxones are methadone to get off of heroin.
Okay.
So it's like opiate blocker. So he gives me one of those. Now, if that was heroin, I was going to do heroin that night.
Really?
Nothing was going to stop me from doing it. Now, he probably would have talked me into it. I'm being honest with myself. I was at that level of my addiction with the painkillers and I was sick for about a day and a half and I had no desire to stop. All I wanted to do was more. And whatever he gave me that night, I would have did it, but it happened to be a Suboxone.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like taking it the opposite direction. So I remember I went home and he put it under my tongue and it dissolved and I never felt higher in my life. So I was one of the people that would get high off of them.
Holy shit.
So I remember telling a counselor in aftercare years later that I would get high off them. She's like, I heard about that. She's like, I wasn't one of those. I would just be normal, which is good because she was able to get off them and live a normal life again.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people stay on them for too much longer than they need to.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting high off them.
Damn.
So now...
What?
So now I went from spending thousands of dollars a month on pills,
which is
insane. It's insane. Thousands of dollars back in 2008, that's some money back then. Not so much now. You know what I mean? I'm spending thousands of dollars and then I'm getting these Suboxones. I'm paying a couple hundred bucks a month and I have one for every day.
Damn.
I did those for about a year and a half and my life kind of mellowed out. still chaos. I'm still doing drugs every day.
Right.
But I was mixing them with Xanax, which is a lethal dose. I didn't know that, you know, but I was doing that for a while. I'm getting more and more Xanax from my doctors. It's more prescribed. You know, I'm slow rolling them for more and more every couple months. And I loved eating those things. So it was just absolute chaos, but it was kind of mellowed out for a little while because I wasn't spending so much money. I was never getting sick. They were easier to bring with me. Yeah. But that got out of control too. I went from taking a half of one to a quarter of one to a full one to two of them and blah, 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 all day long and yada, 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 right? I finally moved out of my mother's apartment.
God bless your mom.
Yeah. I finally moved out. Before that, a few different restaurants. I left Roots Chris to work for Darden Restaurants for Red Lobster for a while.
Okay.
I was a manager at Damon's Steakhouse in Clark Summer for a short while. That didn't work out. I was in the restaurant business, and then I went back to Red Lobster, and then I woke up the one day, and the Suboxone stopped working. Stopped getting me high.
Yeah.
Panic mode. Taking one, taking two, taking three. I'm getting high off them at all. I'm like, this is fucking horrible. Try taking Vicodins, not going to work, because I've been eating opiate blockers for the last 2 years, right?
Right, yeah.
So now I'm in panic mode. I remember sitting on the chair like this. One night when I normally be high after Suboxone, enjoying my cigarettes, chain smoking my cigarettes, right?
Jeez.
Online, doing eBay stuff or whatever. And now I'm just bored again. I'm miserable. I'm bored. I don't know what to do with myself, right? I'm smoking weed. It's not helping. It's not giving me that fix that I want. It's not giving me that mellowness that I want. So I'm at work the one night and whatever the fuck. And somebody offers me Adderall.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm more of a downer guy, but I can use a little pep up. I've been down a little bit, right? Well, I've done Adderall before. Adderall is just cocaine and methamphetamine mixed together in pill form, and there's a natural come down off it. It's horrible. It's great, but it's also horrible. It literally is meth. I've done that before too. It's literally fucking meth in pill form. It's fucking insane.
That is.
And I took it at work, and I was going a million miles an hour, and I fucking loved it. That was it.
Yeah.
That's the turn. That was another turn. Remember I said earlier, I had that turn. Right. I had that turn in the when I smoked the joint, how I loved it.
Yeah.
And then my life, everything. So people, a lot of people are naive to say that marijuana is not a gateway drug.
Yeah.
It is absolutely a gateway drug.
I hear that a lot, but yeah.
Cigarettes are a gateway drug. Alcohol is a gateway drug. Alcohol is probably the biggest gateway drug. It opens up, if any drug that you do opens up an alley to another drug, it's the definition of a gateway drug.
Yeah.
Me smoking pot for the first time opened up the alley for me smoking cigarettes, me being the cigarette alcohol crowd when I'm 13, 14, right. Every once in a while on the weekends, opens the possibility up for me to say yes to other drugs. Mm. So when marijuana is introduced, I'm already two drugs in. One out of a third.
Technically,
one.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Gateway drugs. You can't sit there and say, oh, only thing it leads to is snacks. Sure. And heroin. Yeah. Maybe a little later on, but you still get introduced to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, McDonald's French fries are a gateway to cheeseburgers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. It is. Yeah. So, like, Brian, what's your, please. How do you get out of this cycle, right? You're in, like, a cycle.
The cycle is starting to come to an end.
Okay.
The cycle is, we're around the corner.
Okay, all right? Good. Yeah, I'm worried about you.
Yeah, so we're around the corner. This is crazy. Right? So the Adderall now is abundant everywhere.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how crazy it was. People that don't need it have subscribed for ADHD.
Yeah.
And they're selling them and they're snorting them and they're eating them. It's the new party drug. I was always down in the darkness.
Right.
Now I'm up in the rave party now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And I'm taking them and I'm going 100 miles an hour and I'm working, I'm waiting on tables. But then but like any good thing, I started getting out of control. I am OCD. I'm a little bit manic every once in a while. When I like something, I get into it. So I would eat Adderall for four straight days. No sleep.
Yeah.
Wow. Shadow people everywhere. I was never alone. There was always shadow people somewhere.
Yeah.
But I would go to, so I fucked up my whole Red Lobster career. Thank God. Fuck the restaurant business. Fuck those people that fucked that cocksucking manager that worked there. And I don't know where she is today, but there's somewhere special for her when she goes. And she was, and hope she changed her life. I'm getting a little fired up.
Yeah,
hope she changed her way around and became a better person. But she was not a good person. She wasn't very nice to a lot of people. Hope she's better. And things are working out for her, but holy fuck, right? So, but I wasn't a good person myself either. So I finally I quit, and I didn't know what to do with myself. I called my mother, I told her I quit. She goes, okay, well, the casino's hiring dealers. There's a school going on next week. Do you want to start it? I'll get your write-in for it. So I came in, took the math test. I'm still all fucked up, right? But I managed to get into the school. So it was, I had to learn, take blackjack for 6 weeks, five days a week, 4 hours a day. So I wasn't working.
Okay.
So that got a little hairy after a while, but I had to go to do that all day. But I was managed to put my addiction away Monday through Friday morning.
Yeah.
I went to school. I did what I had to do. I come home. We just watched TV. Got to the point where I had no money at all. Luckily, I didn't have, my landlord was a family friend. So like I was just backing my rent up, but I didn't have cable. Look, I had power. Look, I had food in the fridge. I remember somehow, some way, my DVR still worked from DirecTV. Oh,
wow. Yeah, yeah.
And I had 4 seasons of Walking Dead on there. Was that 4,000? Was that about 4,000 episodes?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So I watched Walking Dead for three months.
You can't beat that, right?
Oh, I don't recommend it.
Yeah. Well, no, right, but yeah.
But then the weekends I would party.
Okay.
Then I became a dealer. So now I'm working 6:30 at night to 3, 4 in the morning. Even worse than the restaurant life. But I'm eating Adderall while I'm doing it. And I'm going to work ripped off. I'm being awake for 3 days at a time, and I'm going to work. I don't know if I showered or not. I don't know what the deal was. I don't know what was going on. And I was absolute mess. I thought people were cheating. I told the manager, listen, this guy's counting cards. But the reality was, I was a disaster.
Wow.
I was a disaster. I remember people telling me I got brought down to the office more than once because I was all fucked up. I don't remember any of that. So I was dealing for 9 months. Chaos. Adderall chaos with my life, right? Yeah. I had a great eBay business. I used to sell wrestling figures on eBay.
Okay.
eBay and I have a wrestling eBay empire now, especially with the way collectibles went back up during COVID and baseball cards and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
I was
Pokemon cards, all that stuff.
I was selling WWE Elite Mattel wrestling figures that you pay $20 for at Toys R Us. Now, I got into collecting them. So I was hooked. My OCD.
Hooked.
Yeah. I needed, if I'm a collector, I'm a finisher.
You're all in.
Need them all.
Yeah.
So I remember I would pay $60, $70 on eBay to get the newest figures. I didn't want to wait for them.
Okay.
I flipped that around. I started selling them for $70. I would go to every Toys R Us in the area.
And buy them all.
Buy them all and sell them for $60, $75, $80, some of them, right?
Yeah.
Made a fortune. But I started fucking my eBay. I would go to yard sales, all that kind of good stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Collectibles, trading. I was making really good money. I was a power seller. I made like $30,000 the 1 year.
Whoa.
So that $30,000 could come back to get me.
Okay.
Right? But I started fucking up. I was placing orders. I was selling stuff. I was never shipping it. I wasn't shipping it in 2-3 days because I would go on a bender.
Okay.
And I would do really good business on 3-4 day bender, package everything up. Yeah. But then when the Adderall went away, time for me to crash out for a day where I wanted to kill myself every day.
Wow.
They would just sit there for days. People want refunds.
People are messaging you. Yeah.
So I started screwing things up. Started screwing things up. Started selling things I didn't have.
Whoa.
Yeah, real shitty, right?
Yeah, that ain't good.
Real shitty, right? Luckily, they got their money back from PayPal, that kind of stuff. But that shut everything down. That's when that shut everything down. Luckily, that happened when I finally crashed out.
It okay.
It was the morning. I was on a 3-day bender. I went to Mount Airy Casino with a friend. I was up for days. I've been doing a shot of tequila, and then that was it. I blacked out.
Holy
got kicked out of there. She drove us home. I left the car and I started walking to my house, I guess. Instead of going to my house, I went into my neighbor's house and went into her shed, took some stuff out of the shed.
What?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck I was doing.
You fucking blacked out.
Then I tried getting into her house with my Eagle key. I think it was why won't my key open? Now my other neighbor is watching me do this. Now this is the neighborhood that I just moved back into a few years before this, but that's where I grew up.
Okay.
G Guy's Bar was not too far up the street.
Yeah.
You could see it from where I was. So it's my old neighbor. Everyone knew who I was in the neighborhood. Is what probably saved my life, right? In a way.
Yeah.
So the person's house that it was an old force police officer. She happened to arrest me that morning. Felony criminal trespass, all kinds of shit. Drunken, public drunkenness. Trying to break into her house, right? And I go to the police station and the chief of police, who I played football with and I graduated high school with in a way, he comes up, Brian, what the hell's wrong? I go, bro, I look at him, I go, I'm done. Because I'm a little time before that, I got a DUI. January 3rd, 2015, up since New Year's Eve, I ran into a telephone pole at a shop in Wilkes-Barre, and I got arrested under suspicion of DUI, brought to the hospital, they'd be checked out, they took blood, didn't hear anything for 2 months, and I got DUI. So I was trying to stretch the summer out. I'm ROR bail from Luzerne County, and I'm trying to stretch before I go on ARD, where I can't do anything anymore.
Right.
But I still have an underlying drug problem.
Jeez.
You know what I mean? So I'm trying to get the most out of that. So I end up getting arrested. I'm in the police station in Old Forge. And Jason's like, what's the matter with you? I go, listen, I look at him in the eye, crying. I go, I'm done. I'm fucking done. Please help me. I can't live this life anymore.
Yeah.
I can't. I go, whatever you need me to do, whatever I did today, I'm sorry. I go, I don't know what's going on, but I do know one thing. You guys need to help me. I can't live like this anymore. My mother came to the police station, small town, of course. She came to the police station. She's crying. I'm crying. She's yelling. I'm yelling. Police are yelling. Everyone's yelling.
Emotions are high.
Oh, it was ridiculous. Yeah. I go to jail tonight. I spend the night. We go to courthouse and, you know, I'm standing in front of the judge at this disgrace and she's reading off whatever.
Yeah.
I go downstairs. I go to jail for the night. And I remember sitting in the cell. I come out finally and myself. I'm like, I go, man, oh man. And what experience that was too, going to county for the night, man. That was surreal. And I wake up, I pop up in the cell by myself. I'm like, I'm starting to come to a little bit. I'm like, what the fuck? Look out the window, looking out the people, looking out in the fucking, wherever I was, Bloggy, whatever. I'm looking at the people out there. And I'm like, no. Yeah. I don't belong here. I'm not this type of criminal. I don't belong. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody that was in there. But I wasn't at that level. I just needed some fucking help. I was making some wrong decisions. Maybe I needed to be in there a little while. But in my opinion, I didn't want... Maybe, you know what? Fuck that. I did deserve to be there. I didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
I don't want to... Yeah. I never wanted to go back there. I did deserve it. That's not even fair for me to say. I deserved to be in that place for a little while. But I was going to do everything I could to get out of there. So I got bail out the next morning. And my mother goes, you're going to rehab or you're not coming home. Or I'll bail you out. I go, Ma, please. I should have asked you to go to rehab when you were sitting at me in the hospital. That day you were sitting in the hospital, you just knew, because she worked that same job I did. She does that. I was tired from the hours. Mm. Easy to play it off when you worked at 4 a.m, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it went down that way, and I got bailed out. I moved back in with my mother, and I went to rehab 2-3 days later. Clearbrook in Wilkes-Barre, they saved my life. My counselor, Kevin, you know, he lived a crazy life and he was able to get himself together and was able to relate a lot. And something really big he said to me on the way home was, that's where I learned the disease concept and everything too, which I just needed to be away. I needed to be put down, taken away from my lifestyle for a little while to get my mind clear.
Yeah.
Get my body detoxed off the drugs. So now I'm only left with my mind to make my decisions, which goes into the disease concept. Now my body is free. All right. Detoxed out the Xanax, which was awful. I didn't sleep for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I was just flaring all over the place. Jeez. I couldn't sleep, chills, all that kind of crazy shit, right? I was passing out everywhere but nighttime.
Yeah.
Just falling asleep in the middle of the fucking field, in the middle of the daytime. I was so droggy from the detox meds. Wow. But nighttime would come around and it would be like wired for sound. Yeah. Arms all over the place, scratching and sweating, chills, roommates fucking snoring. Shut the fuck up over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but it was such, it was, it's what I needed. It's what I needed to wake the fuck up. And but the key thing to getting better, you asked me a little while ago, how to get yourself out of it.
Yeah.
You have to want to. For the first time, I wanted to. Finally. All those times I detoxed myself off of drugs, everything like that. At that moment, I wanted to do it. But then when I got clean, I didn't want to do it anymore. I didn't want to. I chose to go back. Now, people say that's the disease concept, making you make that choice. No. It was me not taking the resources that were out there. So what did I do after rehab?
Yeah.
Rehab wasn't easy, but I fucking needed to be there. I didn't want to come home. And I remember.
Why? Why?
I remember I was ashamed to go home.
Okay.
Because of what I did.
Yeah.
Remember, I told my counselor that. I go, Kevin, I go, I'm really ashamed to go home. He goes, well, whoa. He goes, are you ashamed or are you embarrassed? I go, what's the difference? Yeah. He's like, well, embarrassed means that you did a stupid thing, but you did a bad thing, but you're not a bad person, or you did a stupid thing, but you're not a stupid person, something like that.
Yeah.
But he goes, when you're ashamed, that you shame usually goes with something that you're a bad person that did a bad thing. He goes, which one are you? I go, I think I'm more embarrassed. He goes, you go home. It's okay to be embarrassed. He goes, you should be embarrassed, but you got to prove to your family that you're not an embarrassing person.
Yeah, yeah.
And my friends. And you know who was there for me from day one when I got in trouble? My friends and my family. Because you know who I was avoiding when I was drugging? My friends and my family. I didn't treat them wrong. I didn't steal from them. The only thing I stole from them was our friendship for the time being.
Yeah, for those years, right?
And but our bond was so strong. My best friend Rocco, for instance, he's been with me since I'm 43. I think we've been friends for 40 years.
Wow.
So you know, it's those kind of people that stuck by me and my counselors and my mother.
What's your mom's first name?
Donna.
Donna. Shout out to Donna.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Donna, yeah.
Because without her, it sounds like, and you probably wouldn't even be
nothing.
Here.
Nothing. I wouldn't be here. I lost. I woke up that morning having everything, money, job, all that stuff. Well, whatever. I was giving it away for a while.
Yeah.
And then at the next morning, woke up in jail, nothing. Lawyers, everything was drained.
Yeah.
Everything was drained after that, man. There's thousands and thousands of dollars and my life and my reputation and everything.
That
like
eBay
that.
Money was gone. Whatever everything you had made,
gone.
You know.
Everything was gone.
Yeah.
And before I got in trouble, I got a $30,000 tax bill from PayPal. I owed $8,000 in taxes for income, right?
Yeah.
So put that aside for whatever, right? Yeah. So I got out of rehab and spent the summer going to AA. I don't do AA anymore. I stepped away from it a few years ago, but I did it for like 5 years and it saved my life. It gave me a place to go. It gave me a place to want to go the next day and be sober for it. I learned a lot. And it got through, you know, don't get me wrong, I hear the same stories, a lot of them, all the kind of same things, but you always hear something you need to hear some days. And the steps of AA, the principles of AA are so fascinating that if everybody lived those principles, there wouldn't be a war. There wouldn't be any nonsense going on in the world. There wouldn't be us being afraid of World War III or countries fighting for hundreds of years for no fucking reason at all. Killing somebody they never met before because you want to do it.
Right.
When all you have to do is just live your life and be at peace and be calm and do what you want to do. Think about it. It'll never happen.
It's sad to say.
But to sit here and say that someday it could happen, I'm fucking naive. I'm lying. I like to believe it.
Yeah.
I like to believe
you
that.
Hope.
I like to believe that more and more people could do it. You know what I mean? But, you know, I learned a lot from AA and I learned a lot. I did outpatient treatment for like 9 months. But then I had to face my charges.
Yeah.
I had to face my charges. So the plan was for me to go to rehab for the summer and get better and to get put on a treatment court program. You know what that is?
No.
So Lackawanna County has one, Luzerne County. I think a lot in the state have one. They're called their treatment court programs. You plead guilty to all your charges and then you do a program for 18 months where after 18 months you get your charges dismissed.
Okay.
And then after so many years, depending on what you did, a felony or misdemeanors, you get your record expunged.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I was able to get on this program where I pleaded guilty to all my charges to Judge Barace in Lackawanna County Treatment Court.
Yeah.
They saved my life. People said it was a trap, it's a trap, it's a trap. It's not a trap. It's keeping me out of jail. It's giving me my life back in a couple of years. Was it easy? Fuck no.
No,
I had to call every morning. I lost my driver's license in Luzerne County at the same time. Luckily, I did probation and parole in Luzerne and Lazac at the same time.
Yeah.
So I just had to talk to two different people. But whatever. You know, DUI, I had to take classes. I had to pay thousands of dollars in fines, get my license back. But I lost my license for a year because it was a drug DUI. I got DUI for Xanax and Ritalin.
Wow.
I wasn't drinking. It was just it was the drugs in my system, but Ritalin wasn't a prescribed drug. So I had to, that was fun.
Yeah.
So I had to eat that and I deserved it. So, you know, so I'm on treatment court now. Now I give up all my rights. I fuck up real bad. I go to state prison for my max sentence. All I wanted to do was be better. I was not going to upset my mother again. Wasn't going to upset her. Didn't want to see her cry over me again, for me again.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to disappoint my friends or my family or all the counselors or all the judge or the lawyers, everyone that
believe
cops,
in you. They believe
everyone
in you.
That helped me.
Yeah.
Even the police officer that arrested me was a big part of me getting on treatment court.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't really a full candidate for it. But you know, everybody put their hand into something for me. And all I wanted to do was get better. That's all I did. I concentrated on getting better. I had a call every morning. They go for a drug test. And they call my color. Taking the bus, you know, doing other stuff like that. Community service, everything like that. I got suspended from the casino, so my gaming license got suspended immediately.
Yeah.
So it took me 9 months to get that back. I went from getting rehab, this getting a treatment court, to Judge Barace saying absolutely not going back to work at the casino.
Yeah.
Well, I still had a loophole. I still had to get my license back. So they gave me time to do community service and go through the process of getting my gaming license back. So long story short, went to Harrisburg, had to go in front of the gaming board, and they gave me my license back.
Yeah.
It was amazing. We grabbed my mother, we cried in the hallway, and we went to eat lunch.
Yeah.
And I remember I called up the judge and I called up my counselors and then like my probation officer was cool with me going back to the casino to work, my caseworker. It was just incredible that these people were okay with me going back to a party scene.
Yeah, that's kind of shocking, you know?
And I was strong enough in my sobriety to do it. And Judge Barres agreed and let me go back there. Remember, I went to court the next day, and my probation officer was like, "Hey, you know what happened yesterday?" I'm like, "Oh, I got my license." "Oh, that's great. So we'll talk to the judge about going back to work." I'm like, "Okay." He goes, "He won't talk about the open, and he won't ask you about that open court." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I understand." I go in front of Judge Barres. "Hey, what happened with the gaming board yesterday?"
"No."
I'm like, "They gave me my license back." He goes, "Oh, you must be stoked." I'm like, "I'm grateful, Judge Barres, for everything that's been going on here the last year.
Yeah.
I just want to go back to work because I love that job, and the money was great."
Yeah.
He let me go back. And that was it. I spent the next 2 years probably before I get my charges dismissed just working, doing whatever they wanted me to do, the meetings, the this, the that, whatever they told me to do. Head down.
Yeah, stay clean,
I ended up getting my license back within the year. I was able to buy a new car. And I actually got the last 2017 Honda Accord Coupe. The two-door.
Okay. Yeah,
it was
yeah.
the last model.
Okay.
I'm a Civic driver now because they did a remodel.
Yeah.
The Civics are beautiful now. They look like Accords.
Right.
So, but I was able to buy a new car. Things were starting to come back to my life. I put a lot of weight on. I was out of shape, all that kind of stuff. But I turned the food was my new drug.
Okay.
Because whenever I was doing drugs, I said to myself, "All right, I have pills to take, but I'm not taking them yet. I have a full belly. I got to wait 3 hours for my stomach to be empty to get the full effect."
Yeah.
So now when I was getting sober, I would just eat.
Yeah.
So if I ate, I wouldn't want to put drugs in my system. A couple of times I almost went to the liquor store, but I didn't. I stayed strong and got through day after day after day after day. And each day got a little bit better.
Yeah.
Some days were a little bit worse, but it got a little bit easier every day. And it's when they say one day at a time, when anything, it's the truth.
It's the truth, yeah.
100% truth.
100%. Let's take a quick snack break while we're at it. This snack break is brought to you by Jerky Beef Jerky. When late night editing episodes for the podcast, Jerky Beef Jerky keeps me fueled and ready to go with 11 grams of protein, high quality ingredients, and no nitrates or nitrites. With 5 different flavors to choose from, Jerky Beef Jerky, eat meat, repeat. Wow.
Yeah, I guess.
It
starts to get better.
So you find food. That's your new, go-to, which explains a lot because you have a food podcast, Food Fight Podcast. So let's talk about that. Like, let's get that journey. Let's get that aspect of it. Because before the podcast, if I remember, you started a successful Facebook page.
Yeah.
All about food.
Started Dimitay's Food Fight.
Dimitay's Food Fight. Yeah, okay. On Facebook. Yeah.
Dimitay's Food Fight. As the original name was, Dimitay's NEPA food reviews.
Okay.
That's where it started off.
Mouthful. Yeah.
Yeah. It was too much.
Yeah.
And I wanted the NEPA out of it. Even though it was popular in my area from Northeast Pennsylvania, everyone knows. My buddy Jim Mariabelli from NEPA Pizza Review.
Okay.
We got him up there. He's the pizza guy up that way. And I remember when I started doing my reviews, I think I reached out to him after about a month, but somebody told me, it was, "Oh yeah, he goes, people are telling me that you're the new guy on the street," all that kind of stuff. But "I don't give a shit about that guy." He goes, "There's someone that loves pizza." So I didn't know what I was doing at first. I wasn't eating the pizza in the review. I was just taking videos of them.
Yeah.
I was posting nonsense. And then I started to get into my little bit of a groove. Started doing a little bit well. And I started understanding Facebook more. I started learning, teaching it, and understanding it more. So I started getting into that more. And then I remember I wanted to get the NEPA out of there. And Jim Mariabelli is like, "How about Food Fight?" I'm like, "Whoo.
It's perfect.
Whoo."
Knowing who you are now, yeah, it's perfect.
I'm like, just Food Fight. He's like, "You got to leave your last name. Dimitay's Food Fight."
It's a badass last name, Dimitay.
Dimitay's Food Fight. Just hit 2 years, December 13th was my birthday for it.
Yeah.
And I'm just at 10,000 followers. I'm about 700 followers away.
Okay.
I'm averaging 5,000 followers a year.
See what we can do. Yeah, get that taken care of. Yeah.
I'm averaging 5,000 followers a year. And my page is all about pizza and food and fun questions like Food Fight. What's your favorite soda? And people just get into it. You know what I mean? Food Fight. Blue cheese fucking sucks. Boom. People love that shit. We can curse again on Facebook now.
Right. That's true.
I can curse on Facebook now and not be censored for it.
Right.
I can lead off that way, which is an adult page. You don't want your kids looking at it?
Right.
Be a better parent. I posted a picture of me sitting at Long John Silver's last week.
Yeah.
200,000 people reached.
That's insane. Yeah. That's some good numbers. Holy cow.
It. I love it. It's great.
Going to the moon.
Keep my page positive, too. And people give me slack for that, but yeah. Fuck them.
So when you say positive, you don't, no negative
reviews.
Yeah, why?
I'm not going to go to... What's your favorite spot in this area?
Me? Food? Pizza? Are we talking pizza?
What was the pizza place you told me what you
liked? Oh, I like Angelo's.
Imagine going to Angelo's and you had a bad pizza and you came on your podcast and told everybody about it.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. That's not me.
How horrible is that? That's not me either.
Okay.
I worked in the restaurant business a long time. Yeah. I know mistakes happen.
Right. Everybody has a bad day.
There's off days.
Yeah, exactly.
And just because I don't like it doesn't mean everyone else doesn't like it.
Which is huge, Joe, because I feel like a creator in your space, you know, like you can look at maybe Barstool Sports with El Presidente or something. Yeah. Like, you know, sometimes creators will go the negative route because it gets more hype. It gets more feedback, more likes and views and things. You know what I mean? Like, so the fact that you don't bring that negativity in, I think it's pretty awesome.
I like to sleep at night. I made a comment about a pizza with a blue. So we do. We're big up in our area with a sauce swirl. It looks like a a hypnotist thing. You know, they bake the pizza.
They
bake the pizza with the cheese on the crust first. Then they finish it with a sauce swirl.
Okay.
Delicious.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It changes the
complexity. Work of art.
Yeah. More in the sweet sauce. You ever a sweet sauce pizza?
Oh yeah, I have had.
So more in the sweet sauce.
Hungry now for pizza.
Yeah. So more in the sweet sauce land, right?
Yeah.
So. I remember my buddy Mike posted a picture of this buffalo wing sauce pizza with a blue cheese swirl. I fucking hate blue cheese, right?
Yeah, that ruins
it. So I made a comment. I'm like, I made a comment with the puke face. Yeah. But I made it for my private page, Brian D. Matei page, for my personal page, not my food fight page, right?
Yeah.
And he's my buddy now. So I can say Andy Franz owns a pizzeria called Barazzi's Pizza. And he messaged me. He was upset with me. He's like, you have a platform. You shouldn't be saying stuff like that. I'm like, it wasn't my food page. But then I take a step back and I'm like, people know I'm the same fucking person. The same person.
Yeah.
He didn't know my history of the blue cheese, but my buddy Michael posted it does. I didn't take, so I realized right there that maybe I do have a little bit of, I'm gaining to the point where people are watching out for me, watching me, and maybe I do have a little bit of responsibility. So what route do I want to take? I tell this guy to go fuck himself?
Yeah.
Or I want to apologize to him.
That's true, right?
I apologized to him, and I went up to the shop shortly after that, and we became buddies.
Oh, there you go.
I did a couple reviews for him. He gives me the pizza. It's delicious.
Yeah.
And he shares the reel that I made. I reviewed three of his pizzas. He shares those reels over and over. It's free advertising for people.
Right. Now imagine if you said, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or I get in the car and be like, this pizza sucks. And then I share it on 30 pages, and everyone hungers for that. I don't know. And then...
Yeah.
His comments alone shut my whole night down. I was so upset.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait for him to get back to me. And I get back to me the next morning. And I lost sleep over it. So imagine more and more and more if I really gave a bad review.
Yeah.
If I really gave a bad review and I turned this place down. Don't get me wrong. If I ever walk into a place and they're pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Where I don't want anybody to go in there. I'll say that. Well, I rip into like Burger King and McDonald's and places like that. They're billion-dollar corporations.
Right.
Do better.
Yeah.
You
got the money.
You have a system.
Resources. Yeah.
You have a system that's in place that should, everything should be the same every single time.
You're right.
Every single time.
Yeah. There's no reason for nothing.
There's no reason for you to be a fucking bastard out the window. And what do you, I've got Arby's cheeseburger. Remember Arby's came with a cheeseburger?
Yeah, yeah.
I recommend you try an Arby's cheeseburger.
Okay.
They're good. I went to the Arby's in my area, and I'm in there, all I hear is, yeah. She watched my review, right? I go, yeah. She goes, yeah. I go, yeah, what? She goes, what do you want? I go,
wow.
I go, I just want a cheeseburger, please.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just like, okay. I drive around.
Yeah.
And a car pulls up, and she's focused on this car. I give her my card. She takes it. She's handing it out the window, but not far enough, but she's staring at the other car. I'm like this. I'm like,
you're trying to reach for it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this horrible service, but you know, great food though. So I got into, so then what were we talking about? The food fight stuff.
Yeah,
so I got
your Facebook page and everything.
So I got into the Facebook page, and I always wanted to do stuff like that. You know what I mean? And so I started getting into it more and more, and then I got an opportunity to speak at Wilkes University about my addiction story.
Yeah.
And we got to finish that real fast too. I get touch
yeah,
back, right?
No, please.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing that. Because
You know, I just want to polish it up real fast. I'm going to stop with the food story. I got an opportunity to speak in front of 100 lawyers and doctors last year at a pain and addiction summit. tell my story. It was great. But, you know, I was on treatment court. I just spent the years getting better.
Yeah.
Getting better every day at a time, working at the casino, keeping my head down, got my charges dismissed, got my record expunged. I got myself back in, myself back into shape, and I finally moved back. I moved back out to my own apartment again. And I just been living that life. I sold all my wrestling figures. And
that's all. Awesome.
I sold my, I sold all my wrestling figures, and I was able to move out and do other stuff with that money. And you know, things were going great for a while, then relationships, other kinds. Then I got bored. Then I started, then I found MMA. So we'll finish up the MMA story. So the food, so the food page was really doing well. I'm finding my groove. I'm hitting more places. People are asking me to come to it. Now it's 2 years, and I have a podcast that goes with it now.
Yeah.
And the opportunity to do the podcast came up the same day we did the Wilkes University talk. So we're on the Stacks Media. So we created a food fight, and we released the first episode with Jim Murray Belly, NEPA Pizza Review. And
yes.
I've had great guests on ever since, and we haven't stopped. It's going to be March will be a year. I'm getting ready to have Jim back on for my year anniversary.
There you go.
But now I'm doing the videos by myself. Food Fight Productions is the name of our company.
Okay.
Me and my partner, Mike Rivera, are doing the videos ourselves. We just released our third episode under our flag.
Yeah.
We just had Bill Ritchie on our show from Angelo's Pizzeria, the one and only. There's Angelo's everywhere.
I was going to say,
But Angelo's, he's the one and only.
There you go.
It's literally his name.
I like that. Yeah.
And he did it on purpose because there's Angelo's everywhere.
Yeah. Right.
Angelo's is like the name for pizza.
It's classic.
Even if your name, their name was Angelo. But even if your name's not Angelo, it's an Angelo's.
Yeah, yeah.
So the big pizza, there's big pizza families in our area. There's the Ritchie family. There's the Recchi family. There's the Rinaldi's and O4's. Just O4's in general.
Yeah.
O4. Rinaldi's, Rivillo, Gingerelli's. All the OG places back in the day, O4's pizza. You ever have O4's pizza?
I can't say I have.
I got to bring it.
We got to bring it
to town.
We'll have to set something up.
Yeah, we'll have to bring it. We'll have to get you on.
I'll bring the pretzels.
I'll have to get you on the Fight for Life podcast when that starts.
Yes.
We'll do it on a weekend.
Okay.
And we go for some O4's pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be delicious.
I'd love to get some.
Yeah. So the food pages kept on going, and then the food pot took off. And you know, I never pictured myself.
Did you? Yeah. Yeah. Doing a podcast. Yeah.
Well, I was on one with my buddy Scotty Scooch. He had this podcast called Sober Sit Down. So the first one
That's
I was ever
name.
On.
That's a good name.
Yeah, it was a real good name. And he just got caught up with other stuff. He couldn't do it a lot, but you know, it's still on YouTube. It's still there. It could be watched. But you know, that was the first podcast I was on. And then when I got off of, I remember that first came out. I was like, boy, I go on all these podcasts now. No one knew who I was.
Yeah, yeah.
No one knew who I was. I was doing the food page. It was still Demetae's NEPA food reviews. I was doing the food page there, but I was just getting myself out there more. And once I really got into the groove of the food page, everything was streamlined. My reels were doing, my reviews were doing better.
Yeah.
That's when, then Food Fight, I'm like, no one's going to want to give me sponsorship. The sponsors came alive and all that kind of stuff and the guests and everything. But now I have more freedom doing it myself. Weekend interviews, we're going to go on the road more. We're going to do other stuff. We both have a lot to bring to social. This is the dawn of, I know social media has been around for a while.
Yeah.
But this is like the rise of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's taking, as far as advertising goes, look at the TikTok craze.
Yeah.
Now, I'm accidentally popular on TikTok.
Okay, yeah.
I say accidentally because I wasn't posting my stuff regularly on there. It was my regular name, but I was going down to all the rabbit holes. All the crazy things that are going on in the country.
Yes.
I was going down all those rabbit holes. And I was getting all fired up, so I had to stop.
Oh, yeah, because that'll mess you up,
too. Oh, yeah, I was waiting for people to get back to me, these strangers. It was absolutely insane. Yeah. Like, why is it user 475 answering my question?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you go down those rabbit holes. It's like, no. Yeah.
So I changed it to Demetae's Food Fight.
There you go.
So I was like, okay, there's no way I'm going down the rabbit hole. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to upload every video that I have so far. I started uploading videos every 2 days. I found the days that are good. Some do 100,000 views. Some do 13 views. You know what I mean? But they're all on there. And this keeps getting more popular. Yeah. More and more popular. And TikTok, I was kind of like, I didn't care if it went away. If anything, it would have brought more attention to my page on Facebook. But I'm based on Facebook. If I was based only on TikTok or that was my bigger platform, that sucks.
Yeah, it does.
I get where they're coming from. But think about how they were able to save that. So that proves right there how important social media is
100%.
It's becoming more and more important that there are just paying creators more. I just want to get paid. So I'm on this bonus on my regular profile. I'm making about maybe $200 a month, which is great.
Yeah, yeah.
But I could be making with the same bonus, if it was moved over to my Food Fight page, I don't know why it's not fucking on there.
Yeah.
$2,000 I would make.
Whoa.
That's the money right there.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, now, I would never rely on social right. media money as my sole income. Because yeah. you know why? Just like our podcast could be unplugged going tomorrow. Like
that. Yeah, 100%.
So that's why I have my regular job.
Yeah.
So Food Fight is my main hobby. Food Fight podcast.
Okay.
I'd like to make that into my main income someday. But my heart and my passion is with the MMA that I do.
Okay, talk about that. Yeah. yeah.
So I worked at the casino. Oh yeah, so I went back to the casino. I got better from treatment court. I got my life back together. Awesome. It wasn't easy. Yeah. It was hard. If anybody has any questions or anything like that, please go reach out to me. I'm on Facebook, Brian DiMattei. I'm sure the spelling will be in the heading. It's a personal page. You can follow me or friend me, message me. You're struggling. You need to ask some questions. Yeah. You want to FaceTime? Please.
That's awesome.
If I'm available, if I don't answer right away, I will. I promise you I'll answer back. And if you want to talk, that's fine. If you want to, whatever, I'm available. I have stories. My stories are out there. I want to help whoever I can. Anyway, yeah. sometimes just talking to somebody that went through it, what you're going through, could change everything.
100%. Right? Yeah.
So I went back to work at the casino. They took me back, held my job for months, took my job back. I was overweight. I was uncomfortable, but I ended up getting myself back my life together. And I was cruising with the job. Cruising. But I started getting, about 2 years ago, I started getting really bored.
Okay.
I was on day shift, which was great. Because night shift sucked. But the crowd was better.
Yeah.
So the job was better. Okay. Because it went by faster. It was more fun. I would deal craps and blackjack and roulette. And when you're dealing in the daytime, it's the same old people, same retired people, same the daytime people.
Low energy.
You get the get the 8:30 in the morning crowd, then you get the 12 o'clock crowd, then low energy, annoying energy.
Yeah.
God damn, same fucking bets. Imagine having the same guest on your podcast every day.
Oh no.
And you gotta pull questions
that
out.
It gets tough. Guests are tough like that. You lose your mind after a while, yeah.
Those guests usually have a lot to bring to the table.
Yeah.
Because their stories are great. So that's what keeps the episode alive.
Yeah.
But sometimes you ask a question. What's your favorite color? I don't really know if I like colors. Fuck.
Right.
Shit.
Yeah.
I like black. Black's nice. Oh, yeah. So I was getting burned out.
Yeah.
I was getting burned out with the questions.
MMA,
right.
Right.
And I was getting burned out. I was working day shift. Now, day shift was great, but night shift was fun, but day shift was burning me out. So I finally, Christmas Day, I remember this guy won about $4,000 playing craps. Gave us like $3. It's one of the dirtiest, scummiest players we've ever had.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. I remember I went home. I was still engaged at the time. I told her, I go, I can't do it. I quit and I can't do it no more. I want to become a personal trainer. I want to go work. They offered me a job at the gym when we expanded. And I turned it down initially. I'm like, no, I don't want to leave the casino. I have benefits. The job's good. Yeah. I didn't take advantage of the benefits of working for the MMA gym. The relaxed hours. Being around it every day.
Yeah.
The potential.
It's a good environment. It's great.
Make great money, right?
Yeah,
as a salesman and all this kind of good stuff, right? But I stood around for about 3 weeks, and she asked me, "What the hell is the problem?" I go, "I want to go work with my buddies." She goes, "Let's do it. We'll figure it out." I put my two week notice in. They already hired somebody for the gym, so I had to wait until the new gym opened up. Maybe eventually go into that spot, right?
Yeah.
But by then I was already done, so I quit the casino. Put my 2 week notice in. I started studying to be a NASM personal trainer. Certification, and I started working in the gym. The new gym opened up in January, right at the same time I quit. So I wasn't working there, but I went down there with my buddy Tyler, who opened it up. He was the owner.
Okay.
It was Good Tree Part Two, and I helped him from the beginning. It was just him. I helped him with the kids' classes, the adult classes. I trained myself most of the time.
Yeah.
Then eventually I was able to move in there. They got rid of the salesman that was in there. He left. I was able to move in there in May. And I became a salesman. I started working there. And it's been a year and a half. And
you're passionate about it, so it's easier to sell it, you know? Yeah.
Fortunately, you know, things didn't work out. Me and my fiance, we broke up. I had to move out. I lived in Pittston for a little while. But I just recently found a great place in Kingston again, where I'm doing my podcast and everything now. Where
there you go.
My apartment's in my studio now.
All in one. You can't beat it.
My apartment's my studio now. All I do is a half an hour, 40 minutes before my guest comes. I convert it. And I made it that way where it's pretty like the big piece of wood with the brick wall is permanently blocking the sunlight in my kitchen.
Nice,
but I pulled the curtains back a little bit because I missed my sunlight, but there's sunlight everywhere else though.
Yeah, yeah.
But that wall stays in there.
That stays there,
But it's just things really work out really, really the way they're supposed to. I always feel like I've been staying on the correct path for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Just a couple detours. And then a couple lucky finds like I have out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bridget's great.
Bridget, she seems awesome.
Just over a month.
Seems like an awesome
and
girl.
I feel like we've been together for a while and we just connect with each other.
That's the best. Yeah.
There's no ball busting. There's no ball breaking. Everything's cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope things continue that way.
Right.
And just with the MMA gym, you know, we expanded in July. We moved, we doubled the space and was getting busier and busier. I started coaching the kids years ago in our kids program, like in the instructor program. But then we moved school. I'm doing it for about 3 years now. Now I take the little kids. So we split the group up. We have about 8 instructors.
Okay.
But most of them have volunteered their time. It's just me and Tyler Mooney. Tyler Mooney is the owner, with 2 other owners, Frank Alonia and Tom McGuire. They own Goodtree MMA in Dunmore, PA. And then Tyler Mooney owns Goodtree MMA in Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah.
So our second location. Eventually, there's going to be more locations eventually, you know. But just what we teach when the kids come in, they come in because they're the bullies or they're getting bullied.
You're saying.
Confidence, right? This and the other. So there's solutions to that. If someone's getting bullied, we have to instill confidence in this child. This child has to walk around with his head up and his chest out.
Yeah.
When somebody picks on him, whether they're 5 or whether they're 10, they got to be like, leave me alone. Bullies don't want to hear that. They want you to keep their head down.
They want you weak.
They want you weak. Yeah. That's what they pick on. Yeah. You know why I know that? I used to be a bully in fucking high school.
Were you?
I learned a lot from my old days in school. I used to pick on kids. I wasn't beating anybody up, but words are just as rough.
Yeah.
I've been lucky enough that I was able to touch base with many of those kids that I would do that with as an adult.
Yeah.
Either they reached out to me for whatever reason, with same small town kind of shit, right?
Right.
Or I crossed that path and I was kind of like Billy Madison a little bit.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Hey, sorry for being a piece of shit to you. Hey, man, listen, it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I appreciate you saying that, but I'm okay. You know what I mean? I was able to say that to not all of them.
Right.
But the ones where I felt the worst about, I felt bad about all of them, but since I was able to connect with, I made sure I did.
Yeah.
I made sure I did. And I just wanted to, and then I felt a little bit better. And I hope they did too a little bit, you know what I mean?
Oh,
but
sure.
But just the program itself, the way it helps the children and the way it helps the adults, children will develop better if they're part of physical activity like that. Physical activity, not running around, doing track. All that's great. But physical contact with other children, men and women, boys and girls, wrestling around the ground, doing arm locks, competing. We go to competitions. Kids go to competitions.
Yeah, yeah.
But when they lose, they all cry.
Oh, I
want to cry when I lose.
Yeah.
They let it out.
That's awesome. Yeah. Because they care,
Some cry when they win.
Yeah. Well, they're invested. It's emotional. It. Yeah.
And I'm screaming. That's huge. I'm getting into it. I'm screaming at the coach across the way.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, ah. And the one guy's like, Joker. I go, they're fucking 6.
Joker. Jeez. Yeah.
Just say finish the move. I know what you mean.
Right, yeah.
Don't say Joker. They're 6.
Yeah.
You say that to the adults. You know?
Right, but yeah.
It's incredible. Anyone that's out there that's listening, you have a kid that's 5 years or older and you're thinking about doing something like, as far as mixed martial arts go, karate's great.
Yeah.
It's more watered down in the area now. It's not going to protect, karate's not going to work when somebody grabs your kid.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu's going to work when somebody grabs your kid. All right? That's it.
Yeah.
We teach you 3 T's. Talk, tell, or tackle.
Talk to
the bully. Hey, I don't like that. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Next day, oh, you're still bothering me? I'm telling my mother. I'm telling the teacher. Next day, shit, those 2 didn't work. Now the bully is going to get physical. Well, I'm going to do it first before he does. Now I'm going to tackle him.
Talk, tell, tackle.
Tackle. Like that,
yeah.
You know,
take it into your own hands.
We teach the kids the hands of the bull, which you cover your face up and you charge. So if the bully's going to come throw a wild punch,
okay,
you cover yourself up, you charge at them, close the distance,
okay,
get your hands around their waist, leg in front, hip toss.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or tackle them and hold them in mount position or side control. There's usually a parent or teacher right there.
Right. Right. You
know? If there's not, well, there's more problems.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what and confidence, discipline.
Discipline's huge.
So
when the
new kids come in, the first couple of weeks, they get a little bit of a bye. But once they're acclimated in the class and they don't shut the fuck up, or they're running around, burpees.
Oh, burpees.
Usually 10 burpees solves the problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But some kids have done 30, and that was enough.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. The one be like, I'll do burpees. Okay. 30 of them.
30.
Okay.
At the end of that, they're dragging 15, a little
16,
bit.
They're like, huh. one of the kids, she was doing burpees and she was crying and the grandmother came in like a fireball. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Good. She's lazy. Yeah. She's like,
that's great. Yeah, you thought the grandma was going to be like, you motherfuckers.
I was like, fucking hell, you fucking fuckers. Like, they're just crying, doing burpees.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the parents love it.
Parents I bet, love it. Yeah.
And my job at the gym is I do the sales, handle all the clientele, making sure that they're taken care of, coming to class, they got everything they need, their memberships are up to date, all that kind of stuff. But also the kids' parents, make sure the kids are good class, good instructors, make sure the parents are all happy. I try to say goodbye to all of them before they leave. They're all around. I go walk around the mats.
Yeah.
Good job, kids. Making sure they're all good. The kids that are competing, talk to the parents a little bit more. They see me the most. Even though Tyler's the owner and instructor, my job is to bring them in.
Build a relationship.
My job is to bring them in, tell them about the gym, get them signed up. It's Tyler's job to keep them there with the training, but it's also my job to keep them there with the hands-on touch. You do sales.
Yeah.
So you fucking
know. Oh, yeah. It's all about relationship.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. People buy from people. They like you. You know, they trust you. And, you gotta be customer service oriented. You can't neglect the customer. You know, you have to be on it. So let me ask you this then. So MMA is obviously big in your life.
Yeah.
You know? You're still doing it, obviously. And you know, I love that you brought your Good Tree MMA. You got the logo in there. We're going to get pictures.
Yeah, absolutely.
The pictures will be on American Grown Podcast, Facebook, and Instagram. But I wanted to make sure we cover, like, how can the listeners follow you on the interwebs? Like, what's the main hashtags? Where can it go?
Please. So on Facebook, I have my main page where I post a lot. I cross-post a lot. Brian DiMattei.
Okay.
You have the spelling on there, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'll put them in the show notes.
Brian DiMattei. And then on also DiMattei's Food Fight.
Yep.
Is on Facebook and TikTok.
Okay.
And then on Instagram, it's DemaFit 43 on Instagram.
That's right.
Yeah, DemaFit Instagram. And then I have Food Fight Production page as well, where all the podcast stuff is going to be as well.
Perfect. Okay.
Yeah, man.
Awesome. Yeah.
And please follow Good Tree MMA. We have two pages, two locations.
Yeah.
You know, maybe someday, location near you.
There we go.
Maybe someday.
Yeah, I'll have the links in the show notes for that as well. Now, before we close out, is there anything else, Brian, that you want to cover or talk about that we missed? I mean, I'm not going to lie, this is the longest podcast I've done in quite some time.
I seem to break some records when I go on podcasts. So I apologize for that.
We're almost at 2 hours. So
are we really?
Yeah. So I'd like to keep it rolling and hit that 2 hour mark. We're 4 minutes away.
Oh, yeah, I can finish that.
We're four minutes away. That. So
hope your listeners made it this far.
Honestly, what I think I'm going to do, hopefully, if you're still listening, thank you. I appreciate it. We both appreciate it. But what is like a life lesson that you've learned that could impact, you know, a listener?
If you want to change something in your life, you have to be consistent with it. And you can't expect it to happen overnight. I'm still learning that lesson, but I'm learning it more and more because I'm taking things to where I want to take them, like being patient. Like, for example, I left on the Stacks Media doing my podcast. Now, me and Mike wanted to do it together. Now, we didn't have everything in order, but I was like, fuck it. If it was my old attitude, well, let's just do it now. We'll do it now. It would have been shitty. It would have been half-assed. But you know what we did instead? We invested a bunch of money into it. We got the proper cameras. We got the proper equipment. I pieced together a fucking brick wall in my apartment for the background.
You're doing it right.
So it took weeks for us to do it. There were gaps between episodes. I don't make posts on Facebook and Instagram. You know what? I stay patient because I knew the system. I learned from it. So I try to take that into everything I go into now. Being consistent. And if you want to make a change, you have to want to. You have to want to do it. You can't be like, oh, I think I want to do it. I'm working on it.
Yeah,
of course you're going to be working on it. You have to want to do it. If anything I learned in life is, if you want to make changes, to answer your question completely, consistency.
Yeah.
And discipline. Discipline and motivation are two different things. When you learn that, you know what it means.
Okay.
Yeah. Discipline and motivation are two different things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean when I say that?
Tell me.
Motivation is, I love fucking doing this. I love playing on my phone. I love drinking Coca-Cola.
Yeah, you know?
Or, just that I love lifting weights, but what if you don't love lifting weights, but you need to lift weights? Mm. So you're not motivated to do it, but you still have to do it. So to shut the fuck up, be disciplined, go do it. Discipline leads the motivation.
I see,
Discipline leads the motivation.
Right, and being consistent over time, right?
Yeah, being consistent over time, you know? Yeah. I'm going to a big tournament in the March. IBJJF Pan's big championship is IBJJF is a jiu-jitsu organization. It's like the UFC of jiu-jitsu.
Oh, wow.
Them and the ADCC. They're the two most recognized organizations. Okay. They're the most organized.
I had no idea,
right? So I was down there last year, got my ass whooped. So I'm going to lower weight class this year. I'm better at jiu-jitsu this year. Even though I broke both of my thumbs this year.
Huh?
I broke both of my thumbs this year, back to back.
Wow.
Left thumb, tore my ligament. That got better.
Yeah.
Right thumb, broke my right thumb, and they're in the kids' class doing hip toss.
Jeez.
I landed improper.
Yeah. Oh.
So I was out for like 7 months this month. I couldn't train the right way this year. Anyways, we're going back down there. I'm going to a lower weight class. So I have to go down to 175, which is fine. I have my own looks that I want to look for. I like bodybuilding.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do it. I do a food place for a living. I want to eat pizzas. I had pizza guy on my show yesterday from Rosario.
Contradiction.
Yeah. I had Rosario Bevilacqua on my show yesterday from Rosario's Pizza in Clark Summit. He brought a sweet sauce. He brought a big ass vodka pizza, all this shit, right? I only had a couple slices.
Discipline.
I still, discipline. I don't want to do it. I want the whole thing. But I know what I have to do. I'm not motivated to do it. I'm motivated because I've been training for a while. I am motivated to do it because I want to win.
Yeah.
But I have to be disciplined when it comes to the eating. I don't want to do it, but I'm just doing it. There's a difference. But in about a couple more weeks, when I'm really in the groove, the motivation will take over the discipline for the food because I built that habit. You have to build a habit. Give something a chance.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do something, do it for 5 days. People say 3 weeks for a habit. Do something for five. Listen, you want to be a runner? Well, you can't just go out and run. You have to walk and run, walk and run. And each day you're going to walk a little less, run a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'll be running forever. I became a runner during COVID.
Did you?
My goal was to run 3 miles.
Okay.
And I was home for 4 months from work. So I was just run. And I got to the point where I could warm up and go for a 3 mile run and not stop once. That took months to happen, though.
Yeah. So
you have to start something. If you don't want to do something, you have to do it. Do it for 5 days. Challenge yourself. If you can't do something for 5 days, man, fuck. It's just 5 days.
Right.
If you don't want to do it, it's like getting sober.
Yeah.
You only have to do it for 1 day. Worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow today.
That's it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I love answering questions.
I was going to say, I think we'll leave it on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to wrap it up. You're good.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. Brian DiMattei, MMA instructor, personal trainer, and host of the Food Fight Podcast. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Been awesome. It's been a pleasure.
So my last name, perfect.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser-engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.